Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives with Stace Cargi and Lindy Turner.
Welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I am Stace Cargi. Lindy Turner is off this week, but we have another special guest with us. We have my other half, Gary Cargi.
Hello, everybody. I hope everybody's doing good today.
Good to see you again. I mean, I only saw you this morning when you fed the dogs, but, you know, it's nice to have you back on the radio show.
Yeah, it's nice to be on the radio show every once in a while.
Now, you work for Clinch Powell as well as I do, and you work in our repair program, and your background is sort of repair, rehab, and also safety. Is that what that be accurate?
Yeah, about 52 years worth.
Okay, all right. So something crazy happened about a week and a half ago. So, you know, we had those really heavy winds here in Cumberland County. And during that time, we live out in the Fairfield Glade area. We received a text on our phones that there was a fire, and this fire was about 2 miles from us, and an evacuation order was given. And it was a little scary.
Yeah, a little bit. It's one of those things you need to be prepared for, you know, just in case something like that happens.
And the thing was, you know, I don't think it had ever crossed my mind to sort of have a go bag ready to go in a case of a fire. But, you know, we'd seen so many of these sort of natural disasters, especially fire related. You know, we had Gatlinburg about 10 years ago now, which was horrible, Gatlinburg, Sevierville. And then you had the California fires just last fall. And then we have, you know, these horrible winds, and Pleasant Hill has got some really bad fires going on, and they're evacuating. And so I'm, you know, focused on Pleasant Hill. And while that's going on, all of a sudden we get the notice. And that was one of those things where it was like, okay, so we've got this notice to evacuate. What's the first thing that we need to do? And I remember I walked out and I said, hey, we got this. I'm going to pack a go bag. And I think for you, the first thing was, it's not near us.
Right. It was about 2 miles from us, and, you know, they'll give alerts to everything that's going on. But a lot of people don't even know what a go bag is. Go bag is just your bare essentials, maybe a couple pairs of pants, some underwear, some socks, a couple of T-shirts, a pair of shoes, and at least a week's worth of medicines, if you have medicines that you have to take, have them on hand. Put them in, you know, just a little backpack bag and have them sitting in a corner somewhere where you can grab it real quick and get out. But it's good to have that. I worked in a fire department for quite a while, and that was one of the things that you see is people come out in their underwear or in their pajamas or, you know, in a robe, you know, and that's all they've got with them. But if you're prepared and you're looking at something that could happen, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
And it was really funny, though, looking back now, what your definition of go bag was, which was exactly what you just described, where I looked at it from a different perspective. I was like, what's the most important things to me material-wise? Now, understanding the first thing is we've got the dogs. I'll take the dogs. You're going to open up the garage door, throw the bags in the car, you know, so that, because this is one thing I see in fires, is that the power goes off and you can't open up the garage door and a car sticks inside. So, I mean, we were coming up with this kind of plan. But the first thing that I went to were the items that were handed down to me from my grandmother and my mother. Now, they were small. It wasn't like I went and I got, you know, the cedar chest or anything. But those small little things that just would devastate me, that's where I went first. Then I went for our passports. And then it was I put clothes and medicine and clothes together.
Yeah, it's always important to have your identification with you. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I've always had is I've got a set of dog tags that I've always got in my bag. You know, something ever happens to me, it's got my name, you know, and the social on it, you know, those kind of things, important things. But with me, it's a little different. You know, things can be replaced, people can't.
Yeah.
But I know that, like a lot of people, they have those little mementos that they got from their dad or their mom or, you know, something like that, some jewelry or a watch or a ring. It's good to grab those things or maybe even have them in your go bag, you know, ahead of time, because it's hard to be prepared. I mean, the people in North Carolina up there in Nashville and everywhere, you know, they didn't have much notice at all. It just happened.
And I think that's why I went and I went the way that I did was because I knew we had time.
Right.
Right. We were not under the immediate evacuation. So we were just trying to be looking ahead that if this were to happen. So that's where, again, I went, okay, these things that are really precious to me, my computer, which I need, you know, for work and, you know, these basic things. But it was very interesting and it was a really good reminder for us. The other thing that we talked about is, you know, we're going to be in two different vehicles and we may end up being cut off from each other, you know, pulling out, right, of the driveway. So he may get routed one way and I may get routed another. So where's that central location that we're going to meet at? We established that. Here's location number one. If that doesn't go through, then we go to location number two. And then if that one doesn't work, then we go to location number three. So we had three separate locations to meet at. We made sure that all of our phones had a full charge. We had extra cords on us. So it was, again, looking at communication, identification, and medication.
Right.
And then the other stuff.
Yeah, then the other stuff that was going on. I got to give kudos to Fairfield Glade, the emergency response people, you know, putting out those alerts, letting you know ahead of time that there is something going on in the neighborhood. And it hasn't just been for, a fire or something like that. There's been other situations that have come up that they give you warnings to stay away from certain areas or be prepared for certain things that are coming up. I know that, during tornado season and rainy season, they've always got something going on that they let you know what's going on. It's good to have that.
Which is really unfortunate because in the past here in Cumberland County, we used to have tornado sirens, storm sirens. We don't anymore.
I haven't heard them in a long time.
We don't
time.
Have them.
I don't,
yeah,
I
no, we like don't I said, have them.
Yeah, they used to have like a Wednesday that they would set it off and you would hear and everybody get a little panicky about hearing the tornado siren.
Yeah. But it's crazy that we no longer have them here in Cumberland County. We no longer have that. So it's so important that you have some sort of way to monitor, especially as we get into severe storm season, those kind of situations, those severe weather warnings. And the Red Cross app is a really great app. I know a lot of people around here have the Meteorologist Mark app. Mark Baldwin, he's really good about updating. There's also Upper Cumberland Weather. They're really good about it. So there's a lot of different ways that you can get that information. And of course, when severe weather strikes, you know, you come back and you listen to these radio stations and Panama Jack and Ronnie Chase are usually on the air.
Right.
And, you know, they're going to give you live updates and keep you safe as well.
And almost everybody has a cell phone now and you can download an app, a weather app that'll give you those alerts that are coming up. It's important to make sure that those alerts are on your phone so that you can hear them or feel them, you know, just a warning for you.
Yeah, and a weather radio.
Correct. It's great having a radio station that will do this kind of stuff, too. You know, give you alerts ahead of time so you can be prepared for what's going on.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that I noticed during the fires a couple weeks ago was that the radio station was updating their Facebook page saying, hey, here's what we're hearing, here's what we're seeing, you know, because really for them to come into the radio station was not safe. And that's the other thing that we have to think about. You know, somebody had said, posted on Facebook, and I saw the comment about why isn't the radio station on the air? Well, we were having 80-mile-an-hour gusts. Trees were coming down everywhere. Really, the last thing that you want is for somebody to be on the road if they don't absolutely have to be there. And that's where, because of the communication systems that we have now, being able to do things remotely and on Facebook and to be able to post on social media, send a text message out, things like that really do make a big difference. And the other thing that I appreciated about Fairfield Glade, and I'm sure that the other areas did it as well, was that when they sent that alert notice out, they said, hey, please do not call dispatch unless it is an actual emergency.
Right, because you can overload the people that are receiving those calls, and they can't do their job. The other thing, too, is stay away from wherever those emergencies are going on. First responders and all those guys, we called them looky-loos that would come through, or peepers, where people would just have to see what's going on. Stay away from it so these people can do their job.
Yeah. Now, once the disaster is over, the immediate needs come into play, right? So, okay, your house is fine. It's still standing. However, maybe you got some shingles off. Maybe now you've got a leak. Maybe you lost a couple windows, right? Are you 62 or older? Hey, guess what? you need to call Clinch Powell, because we may be able to help you to do some home repairs if you are not financially able to do so. In fact, right now, we have a grant opportunity that if you know somebody who is 62 or older and they are lower income, and it may not even be something that you consider really low income, but they may actually fall into those categories, have them give us a call, because we have free money. We have grant funds available that do not have to be repaid. So please give us a call, because there may be some help that we can give. Or if you know, maybe your great aunt has some shingles that are missing on her house and she needs a roof repair, we might be able to help her out and get her safe, stable, secure housing and not have to worry about how am I going to pay for it.
So who are you going to call?
Clinch Powell. Yeah, you're going to call us, 865-274-8598. Of course, you can always see us online as well at clinchpowell.net. You fill out applications right there. But you can call us, and we're happy to go over some of those options and see how we can assist. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're here for as Clinch Powell. We are here to be a partner, and we're here to help serve our communities.
And we do a lot of things, too, not just roofs or just windows. There's just some repairs that need to be done. If your rug is bad and you want it changed, don't call us for that. Call us for the things that are absolutely things that need
health
to be repaired.
Safety.
Health and safety, right.
Now, there could be a situation where you have carpeting that is so old that it is molding and that it has damaged the subfloor. And it's something like that, absolutely.
Right, that is a repair.
Right. That is a health and safety issue. So that's where, we want to come in. But, call us and we're happy to kind of go over some different options that may be available. So I know, Gary, you're also working on what we call our purchase rehab program. That is where someone is able to buy a home and they can put the repairs that are needed. They can finance those into that loan. And then they work with our crews to do some of those repairs.
Actually, we don't have crews that work with them. We do help them out. We go and teach them how to do the things, but they're responsible for getting the jobs done once we get them into that program. They do a lot of stuff, though. We've worked with several people that have actually, put in their own floors and put in their own doors and, hung their own lights outside and things like that. But they're with that program, they can get contractors to come in and do work for them, too. We've done a lot of those, and it's not just around here. It's in a lot of different places.
So what's your favorite part about that program? What do you really like about it?
I like it that the people can get something done to their home that they're going to be happy with. And when they finally complete that job, sometimes it takes a little while, but once they get that job completed, looking at the smiles on their face and the satisfaction that the people have, that they have taken ownership of their owned home,
yeah,
that they can make it look nice for them.
And maybe learn a skill along the way.
Correct.
So because you do work with them and help teach them and guide them and kind of work from that perspective.
And I have done some work in the houses. Some people need help with the plumbing or some electrical problems that they're not aware of that are easy to fix, that you don't have to have somebody licensed to do that. But some of the bigger projects, like replacing a breaker box or something like that, you need a professional to do those kind of things. HVACs,
right,
and mm-hmm. water heaters and things like that. We've seen a lot of electrical issues, like electric water heaters not connected correctly, that need to be fixed because it could cause a fire. There's a lot of things that need to be done by a professional.
And that kind of goes into one of our programs, which is for repair, which is our 504 through USDA, our 504 repair program. So with the 504 program, depending on your economic situation and your age, you may be eligible for $10,000, up to $10,000 in free money, which is grant funds from USDA, and then a loan of up to $40,000. So you can combine those into a hybrid of $50,000 up to. And that loan is at 1%. Can you imagine that? 1%. So it makes it super affordable. So if you know somebody that is elderly and, wants to stay in their home, they don't want to leave. We all know that person. That was my mom. That's your mom, Gary. That's, we know these people. You don't want to leave our home. I mean, well, you might, but I'm not leaving our home. So you're stuck with that. But being able to age in place is such a huge thing. It's important for not just one's dignity, but your health. Statistics show that when folks are able to stay in their own home and age in place, they live longer and healthier lives.
That's a big thing that's going on right now, too. A lot of people, as they age, they've become so familiar with their surroundings that if they're taken out of those surroundings, they become very depressed and, yeah, you know, extracted from other people that they don't even want to communicate with them anymore. But when they're staying in their own home, a lot of times, you know, they're much happier if they can stay there to do things.
And that's an important piece of this 504. So if you know somebody that maybe needs a little more repair work done, maybe they need a whole new roof and an HVAC system and would like to get some new siding because their siding is starting to get a little wonky, that 504 may be a great opportunity. We had a client a couple years ago that I know you worked one-on-one with her, Gary, and she was able to get all of her projects done, and her payment is super affordable. I mean, it's under $30 a month. So being able to provide that as an opportunity is humongous, because she had said to me straight up, she said, "Stace, I'm not moving again. This is my home. You know, this is where I want to be." So being able to make sure that that home was going to be in the best shape possible and safe for her meant absolutely everything. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell on WAEW. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell here on WAEW. I am Stace Cargi. Lindy Turner is off this week. Joined again by Gary Cargi. He is one of our construction managers with Clinch Powell. And we were talking a little bit earlier about storm season and some of the things that happened the last couple weeks where you and I experienced an evacuation order adjacent to us. I'm not going to say we were not evacuated, but it was very close by. And so we kind of came up with our evacuation plan, and now we've got that in place. But we are in storm season, severe weather. Next few months are always bumpy here in Cumberland County. So what do we need to know, right, as we're preparing for storm season?
You know me very well. Whenever I go into a building, one of the first things that I do is I look for the exits to see where they are, because you never know what's going to happen in an emergency situation. You know, if the lights go out and you can't see where you're going, be aware of your surroundings, of where you can get out to get away from things. Sometimes, you know, you're going to go run for the front door, but if a tree came down on your house and is blocking that front door, where are you going to go? How are you going to get out of that house, to get out of a dangerous situation? Be aware of where your power lines come into your home, because if a tree comes down, it may knock down those power lines. They may still be live when they come down, so be aware of that. Make sure that you can get yourself away from the house and have a plan, have a meeting place, have a call number that says, "Hey, we're going to call this number, we're going to meet here, we're going to go to somebody's house or somebody's driveway or, you know, parking lot over at the grocery store," or something like that. Make sure you have a plan.
Mm-hmm. One of the things when I was growing up, I grew up in Southern California, and an earthquake kit was a big deal. Like, everyone had their earthquake kit, right, which consisted of a brand new, very clean trash can, you know, one of the super large ones, and in it you would put in a box of garbage bags, because in an event of a huge earthquake, you may not have bathroom facilities, right? So there would be a bucket, there would be garbage bags, there would be Ziploc, there would be a can opener, there'd be canned food in there that was ready to eat that you didn't have to heat up. There were those candles with the matches that were waterproof matches that, you know, and then the Sterno that you could put in there to keep things warm. So it was this whole thing, right? And the big thing I remember was that they used to say that you need 3 gallons of water per person per day, and that you should have this for a minimum of 1 week.
That's a lot of water.
It is.
But you think about it, because when you're not in an emergency situation, you don't think about those things. You know, how much do you drink in a day? But if you start keeping track of what you do every day, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And if you have that emergency kit like that, that'd be great.
Yeah. And it's not just drinking water. You know, I mean, some of it is going to be, you know, to bathe or to, you know, whatever.
And sometimes some of those ready-to-eat meals, we've seen those kits for survival thing. The other thing, too, is having lighting. Not necessarily candles. Candles are okay to have, but it could be a fire situation. But having, you know, fresh batteries or a solar-charged light that you can have. There's so many of those
things. Solar charge for your cell phone.
Right. And they have a lot of those, you know, and they have those battery packs that you can have that are, you know, solar charged battery packs that'll help your phone stay charged. The other thing, too, is there's some new products out there, generators that are solar charged generators that can still run a refrigerator or TV or radio or, you know, things like that, the bare essentials.
And I think it's so important that we remember communications in situations of national disasters and natural disasters. One of the things that happened in North Carolina during the floods was all the communications towers were out. All of the infrastructure was destroyed. There was one means of communication that survived, and that was an AM radio station in North Carolina. And they stayed on the air and provided information. And it was so important to be able to have that link. So, you know, folks were able because they could get either the phone on a little transistor radio. I mean, we don't think about it, right? But it's so important to have that weather radio or that little transistor radio that you can back up on battery, that you can get something should something happen.
I mean, they're just getting to the point where they're getting transportation to go back up there to Asheville.
Yeah.
You know, they've got one lane of the road. I don't know if the other lane is open yet. But I know that the big problem that they had was they had no drinkable water.
Right.
There was no way to treat the water that they had because the water that was there got contaminated by sewage and everything else that was overflowing from water treatment plants.
And that comes back to that 3 gallons of water per person per day.
Right.
And a week wasn't near enough.
And just boiling the water will not do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scary, though. You know, when you think about all the things that could happen, you know, your mind starts to swim a little bit. But I think when we demystify and we say, okay, you know what, I'm going to take what power I have and come up with a plan and make sure that that plan is communicated, then it's less scary. You know what I'm saying? It takes that fear factor out of it. And it's really, I think, very ironic to hear me say these kind of things because I am the biggest chicken when it comes to storms. Like I said, I grew up in Southern California. You know, when I tell people that lightning and thunder is my biggest fear, they kind of look at me and laugh, you know, because they're Southerners, right? And we're used to it. But coming from where I come from, I mean, you might get lightning once a year. It's a big deal. And so when you start seeing thunder and lightning, it's very, very scary. And I remember my mom was terrified. So, of course, you know, she fed that on to me. And coming into the radio world, of all places, I ended up in Wichita, Kansas. Now, imagine somebody who is terrified of storms that is working in radio in Wichita, Kansas, and it was so bad, and I was so terrified at the time that there would be mornings where I would have to call. I would park my car as close to the building as I could, and I would actually have to call the guys inside, and they would have to come out to my car and walk me inside because I would be paralyzed by fear. And what ended up helping me, and I'm still terrible. I'm not who you want in a storm, believe me. But what ended up getting me to the point where I can at least function was I met someone who ended up becoming a very good friend, and he was a meteorologist on a television station in Memphis. And he sat me down one day and said, "Tornadoes will not chase you." Said, "There is a distinct path. They don't turn around and go back the other way and then zigzag." He said, "They go from left to right at an angle. That's how they go. You know, they may jump up and down a bit, but they're still going to have that path, right?" He's like, "It's very linear." And so as he's explaining this to me, or they'll go, you know, from left to right downward, you know, but they're always going to take this path, right? They're not going to come at you. And once he kind of got that through my brain, I can say, okay, I can let the professionals tell me where those storm tracks are. And then I'm not so terrified if I know that there is a warning that's gone off in Cumberland County in the north end of the county. If we're living in the south end, I don't need to be panicked at that point. I should be cautious because things can spin up. But if there's a tornado on the ground in the north end of the county, it's not coming after me in the south end.
Right. But one of the things that you want to be, and or you don't want to be, you don't want to be that person that's standing in front of the camera saying, I never thought it would happen to me.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
Have a plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't want to be that person, Gary Cargi, who stands outside with his cell phone saying, oh, I'm going to get this. I mean, come on.
Yeah, look what happened. I fell in a ditch.
That's true story. It was not a tornado he was searching for. We were actually looking for the
Starlink.
The Starlink. And he had his camera and he was focused on his phone. And next thing we know, he fell into our ditch.
Yeah.
That was not a fun night.
I was okay, though.
He was okay. But that's just it. I mean, we get so caught up because we're in this sort of internet video world, you know, that we want to videotape everything. But there's some things, if you're in an emergent situation, the last thing that you want to be doing is putting yourself into danger.
Right.
So if the experts say that now is the time to go into your safe place, you need to be going into your safe place, and not just you, but make sure that the animals are with you and, you know, your dogs, your cats, you know, your parakeet, whatever it is that you have, make sure that you're all hunkered down together and riding out that storm safely. And there are a couple little tips that, you know, we hear along the way. If you've got any kind of football helmet, you know, motorcycle helmet, put that on. If you're in the path of a storm, you know, you can go into that lowest lying room, you know, put that mattress over you. And I've heard people that we've met after storms saying that, you know, they heard the broadcast and they took these steps and they ended up surviving when their house got hit. So it really is important to heed the advice of the professionals.
Right. And, you know, during like tornadoes and things like that, it's always good to find a place that you can go into like you do. Go into the closet, bring your dogs in there, sit in there and wait for it to go by.
While he makes fun of me.
Not too much fun, because I know that I've been through enough storms, you know, that I don't get in a panic about it. But, you know, some people, they need that safe place to go to. And you got to find some place that's not going to have any glass or a bunch of dishes hanging up on a shelf or, you know, things like that, something that's going to fall on you. You need some place that's going to be your little safe haven for a while.
And it's important to keep in mind that if you do have somebody that's a little paranoid of a storm like I am, to be kind. The last thing that we want is to be made fun of, Gary Cargi. I'm calling you out live on the radio. But I mean, the thing is it's easy for someone to say this is not a big deal. But for somebody that's maybe moved into our area from a California or from these other places where they're not used to storms, there's a very big element of fear. Just know that you can turn on the radio, you can monitor on social media, and there are people that are going to talk you through it. They're going to give you advice, and just as long as you heed that advice, you're going to be fine. The last thing that you want to do, if there is a severe storm going on, is be out in it, because you can be struck by lightning. If you can hear thunder, lightning can hit you.
All right.
I know, you're giving me that look. He's giving me that look, but that's what the experts say, and that's my story, and I am sticking to it. If you hear thunder, take cover, go inside, and just be able to be safe, because I'd rather be overly cautious than not.
Yeah, don't stand out there with an umbrella out there during a thunderstorm. That's a lightning rod going down through your body, so
that's
don't
true.
Do that.
Yeah, yeah, no umbrellas with keys attached to them. That's not a good way to go.
No.
Well, Gary, even though you're laughing at me, I appreciate you joining us today and giving us some important safety tips. As always, you got lots of good advice. Find Gary at gary@clinchpal.net. You can email me, stace@clinchpal.net. See us online, clinchpal.net. Or give me a call, 865-274-8598. For Lindy Turner, who is off this week, I'm Stace Cargi. Thank you for joining us on Dollars and Cents on WAEW. We'll see you next week.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. Airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.